Good afternoon, it's just about 3 o'clock and you are tuned to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, April 21st, the year 2016. I'm Jeff Brown, filling in today for Joan Pardis. Today we'll get a preview of this year's Juno Jazz and Classics Festival with Reggie Shapp. Andrea Campbell and Maria Levischuk will be here to highlight the Empty Bowls fundraising banquet. And we'll get the details about Thursday's Tiny Post Office concert at Kindred Post. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. That Writer's Almanac, Burnout Music, and more today on the Juno Afternoon. With the forecast for the rest of today, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of light rain. Forecast for tonight, rain likely later on with low temperatures around 41 degrees. Forecast Friday, cloudy skies with a chance of rain. Saturday, rain likely with high temperatures around 53 degrees.
For National Native News, I'm Stephen Emmons, in for Antonia Gonzalez. Documents show earlier conduct by the police officer who shot and killed a Navajo woman in Winslow, Arizona, raised red flags with some of his superiors. Phoenix's Channel 12 News reports at least two officers expressed concern about Shipley's conduct. One police corporal wrote in a memo in 2013 recommending the police department not retain Shipley after he completed field training. The corporal said Shipley had integrity issues and is quick to go for his service weapon. Another superior officer expressed concern over Shipley's desire to engage in fights with subjects. Shipley shot L'Oreal Sinajini after he says she threatened him with scissors. Navajo Nation President Russell Begay expressed his dismay on News 12 that any department, especially in a reservation border city, would hire an officer with such deficiencies. Begay says the 27-year-old Sinajini's death is unacceptable. A 1-year-old girl who went missing from the Fort Peck Indian Reservation in Montana has been found dead. Law enforcement officials issued an Amber Alert for Kensley Olson early Wednesday. The Billings Gazette reports a female is in custody in connection with the girl's death. Officers tell the newspaper that other people could be detained as well. An Amber Alert was issued in the same area in February when a 4-year-old girl went missing. That girl was found alive. A man is charged and awaiting trial in the Fort Peck Tribal Court in that incident. The principal chief of the Cherokee Nation says he's pleased with Wednesday's announcement that the U.S. Department of the Treasury is removing Andrew Jackson's image from the front of the $20 bill. KGOU's Brian Hardzinski reports.
Bill John Baker leads one of the largest tribes in the country and said Jackson's image on U.S. currency is an insult to the thousands of natives who died of starvation and exposure along the Trail of Tears. More than 16,000 Cherokees were forcibly relocated to modern-day Oklahoma after Jackson signed the Indian Removal Act in 1830, and about 25% of them died along the way. In a statement, Baker said replacing Jackson's image with abolitionist Harriet Tubman is a small but meaningful vindication for both Cherokee ancestors and today's tribal citizens. For National Native News, I'm Brian Hardzinski in Norman, Oklahoma.
President Jackson's image will still appear on the back of the $20 bill. A South Dakota senator wants to repeal a set of federal laws he says are antiquated and racist. Republican Mike Rounds says the 12 laws are a, quote, sad reminder of the overt racism by the federal government against Native Americans. The laws are not in use, but still on the books. The outdated laws include one giving authority to remove children from their homes without parental consent, and another allowing the federal government to withhold money and supplies to tribes deemed hostile. Members of the First Navajo Nation Veterans Advisory Council were sworn into office this week. The 10-member group was created to give the tribe's veterans easier access to health care and other benefits. Arizona Public Radio's Ryan Heinches reports.
The Navajo Veterans Act established the Advisory Council to give veterans a direct say in policymaking. The act was signed into law by President Russell Begay earlier this year and moved the Veterans Administration into the office of the president. Council member Hubert Smith says restructuring the VA and creating the council will give the agency greater access to funding in other government departments.
It took us 45 years to get the Veterans Act passed. It's actually going to elevate our organization into full recognition by our own government and the federal government.
Smith says the most important issues for the council are housing and helping the tribe's homeless veterans. He also says greater access to physical and mental health care is a priority. Another goal of the Navajo VA is to update its record keeping to get an accurate count of its veterans, which could be anywhere between 10 and 40,000. Eventually, the council wants to establish a Navajo VA hospital along with a veteran cemetery and museum. The advisory council hopes to develop an operational plan by this summer and will present the Navajo Nation Council with a proposed budget by early 2017. For National Native News, I'm Ryan Heinches in Flagstaff.
And I'm Stephen Emmons.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. The Albuquerque Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes the Gathering of Nations to the Wise Pies Arena, a.k.a. The Pit, April 29th and 30th. Information on services and the Gathering of Nations at ahcnm.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
6 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to Juno Afternoon here on listener-supported public media from Alaska's capital city. Reminder that we are doing our membership drive right now, and we have volunteers standing by telephone from the Juno Co-op Preschool who remind us that preschool registration lottery is coming up very soon. In the studio with me now is Reggie Schapp, here to talk about Jazz and Classics Festival, which is coming up just right around the corner.
It's just around the corner, Jeff. That's right. It starts May 6th and runs through May 21st.
When do you start working on it?
We've already started working on 2017. Most of our grants are due like in January and February and March, so we've already got a good start on 2017. So about 18 months out, we start working on a festival.
How are you supported?
We're supported by donations. That is our primary thing. Ticket sales as well as a few grants here and there. So we really count on our donors, and they're very generous here in Juneau, so we thank them very much.
You get quite a lineup of musicians this year.
We do have quite a lineup. Linda Rosenthal did an excellent job again this year. It's actually our 30th anniversary, so we are actually going to be having 5 more events than we've ever had before, and 4 of them are free to the public. So you have a lot of opportunities to hear a lot of good music over those 16 days.
Well, I got some music queued up on our machines here, and we'll try to hit them, little samples of various programs.
That'd be wonderful. Our opening weekend is going to be Carolyn Wonderland Band, and she's the reigning Austin queen of jazz, of bass guitar. She does a wonderful job. We're so excited to have her coming, and she'll also join us on Saturday night on the Blues Cruise. And if you're thinking about the Blues Cruise, you don't want to wait too much longer. They're more than halfway sold out, so you want to get your tickets for those Blues Cruises.
And how do you get tickets?
Jazzandclassics.org, at the Jack, or at Hearthside Books.
Where's a sample of Carolyn Wonderland right now? Carolyn Wonderland, one of the artists appearing in this year's Juno Jazz and Classics Festival. I'm here with Betty Schapp here. Well, who else is coming up?
We have the Vegas String Quartet that's going to be coming up and doing Strings at the Shrine and Back to Vienna. And they'll be joined by Paul Rosenthal at Strings at the Shrine, as well as by Evan Drachman in Back to Vienna. They're going to be playing Mozart, Mendelssohn at Strings at the Shrine, and Haydn, Beethoven, and Brahms at Back to Vienna. They are wonderful pieces of music, and those tickets also are going very quickly because they're small venues. So if you're interested in those wonderful classic venues, you need to get your tickets early. We also have that week, our own Linda Rosenthal is going to be playing with Richard Dowling and Evan Drachman, doing a piece called Cafe Music. It's supposed to be played in a cafe, so we're going to actually be playing it at TK McGuire's. So it should be a fun evening that evening. And Richard Dowling on Tuesday night, May 10th, will be playing all by himself. Beautiful ragtime as well as classical pieces at T.K. McGuire's again.
Is he going to be doing a show at the Goldtown Nickelodeon this year?
He's not doing the show at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. The President's Own Marine Jazz Band Combo is going to be doing the Nickelodeon, and they're going to be doing Go Tell a Marine. It's going to be the silent movie. We're actually expecting a huge turnout, so we're going to have two performances, one on Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on May 15th and one on Monday at 5 o'clock on May 16th. And those performances will be free.
And you've got a percussion band coming up.
We do. Third Coast Percussion will be here starting off with our family concert on May 15th. Again, a free performance open to children. This band is quartet, ensemble, whatever you want to call them. It's just fantastic. They play all different kinds of things, whether it's bowls, they'll play mirrors, they play all these different things, getting different percussion sounds to make music. It's a lot of fun to watch them do their work, and they're going to be, luckily for us, going into classrooms as well around school. They'll have two performances at the SLAM at the State Library Archives Museum Building, and the new Performance Center will be on May 18th, and then they're going to do a huge performance on May 24th. First, out at UAS campus, they're doing John Luther Adams in Nixowit. This is a multi-percussion musical extravaganza. It takes 75 minutes, and it's supposed to be performed outdoor across the beautiful UAS campus. We already have at least 30 confirmed percussionists and musicians going to be performing in this event. It's all over the campus. It's free of charge. We hope everyone comes. It's our 30th anniversary, and this is our present to Juno for supporting us for so many years.
Well, here's a sample of the Third Coast Percussion Group. From Third Coast Percussion.
They're wonderful. We're so looking forward to it.
We're listening to music today and talking to Edgy Schaff about the Sears Juno Jazz and Classics Festival, which starts when?
It starts May 6th, and it goes through May 21st. Our middle weekend is no slasher either. I mean, we have great opening and closing acts, but right in the middle is Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn. They're considering the reigning duo of banjos. We're so excited. They just won a Grammy this year for their new album, and they're going to be here playing at A&B Hall. We're going to do two performances at the Elizabeth Paradovich Hall in A&B, one at 7, one at 9, because we know how much Juno loves Bela. So we know that those are going to be fantastic concerts.
One of the stories I thought was kind of amusing was when Bela Fleck first heard Abigail Washburn play the banjo. He was driving, and he got pulled over by the police because he was just getting into the music that much.
She's wonderful. He's wonderful. Together, the performance is just amazing. We've been listening to New South Africa back at the office a lot. It's totally instrumental. It's just fantastic.
Here's a little sample of one of Bela's albums. Music from Bela Fleck. When's Bela performing again?
Friday, May 13th at 7 and at 9.
And he's playing with his wife, Abigail Washburn.
And he's playing with Abigail Washburn. Yes.
What else you got?
Well, we're going to have that second week, the President's Own Marine Jazz Band Combo here in town, and they're going to be doing lots of different events for us, as well as we're going to have the Rad Trads Dance Party. The Rad Trads are a young group. They're fun, full of energy. It's going to be a dance party at the Jack. So come and kick off your shoes and have a good time. That is on Friday, May 20th. And then we're going to finish up the festival the night of May 21st with the one and only Mavis Staples. She's awesome.
Classics Festival. Reggie Shep, you want to fill us in on any more details?
Just get your tickets. You can get them at, like I said, jazzandclassics.org, at the Jack, or at Hearthside Books. If you have any questions, we're glad to answer them. You can call us at the office at 463-3378. And we hope to see everybody out having a wonderful time this May at the festival.
We'll have you back for sure with some of the artists.
Oh, you definitely have some of our artists coming in. We've already got them lining up for you.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 21st of April, 2016. It's the birthday of John Muir, born in Dunbar, Scotland, 1838, the man who campaigned for a good part of his life to turn Yosemite into a national park. He grew up in rural Wisconsin on a farm, went off to the University of Wisconsin, was interested in botany, went to work in a wagon wheel factory where he suffered an accident that almost cost him his eyesight, and then decided he did not want to work in factories anymore. He set out on a walk from Indianapolis, where the factory was, to the Gulf of Mexico, 1,000 miles away, carrying in his backpack a change of underwear and Paradise Lost, the New Testament, and the poems of Robert Burns. Eventually arrived in Cuba, wanted to head down to South America, but there were no ships going in that direction, but there was a ship going to California, so that's where he went. He hiked through the San Joaquin Valley, and he found Yosemite, and he was inspired, and he spent the rest of his life writing about it and campaigning for it. John Muir, who said, "Everybody needs beauty as well as bread, places to play in and pray in, where nature may heal and give strength to body and soul alike." It's the birthday of Charlotte Bronte, the third of the Bronte children. She's born in Yorkshire, England, 1816. Her younger brother had a box of wooden soldiers, and she and her sister played with them, and from this they began to invent stories. Charlotte Bronte's most famous novel, Jane Eyre, came out in 1847, the story of a plain, penniless orphan who becomes a governess and falls in love with her married employer. It was a bestseller when it came out, though some critics called it coarse and unchristian, especially when they found out that it was written by a woman. Mark Twain died on this day in 1910, an event that he predicted the year before. when he said, I came in with Halley's Comet in 1835. It's coming again next year, and I expect to go out with it. And he did. He died a day after the comet made its closest approach to Earth. It's the birthday of Nell Freudenberger, born in New York City, 1975, author of the story collection Lucky Girls and the novels The Dissident and most recently The Newlyweds. And it's the birthday of the screenwriter and comedian Elaine May, born in Philadelphia, 1932. Her father, Jack, ran a Yiddish theater company. Elaine May, who went on to a comedy partnership with Mike Nichols, whom she met in Chicago in the 50s, screenwriter, Heaven Can Wait, Primary Colors, and the writer and director of the film Ishtar in 1987. Here's a poem for today by Linda Paston entitled Weather. Because of the menace your father opened like a black umbrella and held high over your childhood, blocking the light, your life now seems to you exceptional in its simplicities. You speak of this throwing the window open on a plain spring day, dazzling after such a winter. Linda Paston's poem Weather from The Last Uncle, published by W.W. Norton & Company, used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can subscribe to the Poetry Magazine podcast and the Poetry Off the Shelf podcast in the iTunes Store or listen at poetryfoundation.org. And by Lumosity.com, brain training developed by scientists to challenge memory and problem-solving through online games, Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles with Kathy Roach, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services, working with medical professionals to diagnose hearing disorders and prescribe solutions. Northland Audiology and Hearing Services. Information at 789-6780.
It's about 22 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned into a Juno afternoon here on listener-supported public media from Alaska's capital city. We're in day four of our spring membership drive. We're looking for you to make your donation right now by calling 586-3636 or come on down and make your donation right there. In the studio with me now, Andrea Campbell and Maria Levischuk to talk about Empty Bowls 2016, which is coming up right around the corner this Sunday at Centennial Hall.
It is. Thank you, Jeff, for having us on.
Thank you.
So for people who do not know about Empty Bowls, can you give us an overview of it, please?
Sure. So Empty Bowls is a community fundraiser. All the proceeds go to the Glory Hole. And it's this amazing thing where everyone in the community contributes what they can, and it ends up being this huge event. So we have local artists who donate bowls. We have local restaurants who donate soup. We have other businesses that donate silent auction items. And then we have sponsors for the event. So people come in, they get a beautifully crafted bowl from a local artist, and then they get to go have a bowl of soup from one of the restaurants here in town, along with, you know, bread from Breezen, and then cookies donated by
local churches.
About how many bowls are made?
It seems to vary a little bit each year. This year we have over 500 bowls, and they come from different sources. The canvas is one of the largest sources they come from. This year they're donating around 250 bowls, and then we also get them from UAS, and we have artists like Neil Schlotnick, Don Gottschall, and various
Paul Volkers,
and they donate bowls as well.
They're made of clay and wood.
Clay and wood, mm-hmm.
Cool. And over 500, that's amazing.
It is amazing to have that many in one place.
What time does it open up on Saturday?
Sunday, we open at 5. The doors open at 5. We'll have bowls for viewing and kind of picking through around 4:45 so we can get people in faster this year.
we're making a radical change to drastically reduce our line and the wait for the soup.
Yeah.
We really hope that it works. We think it will.
Yeah, we're getting a little experimental here. So we're going to put all the bowls out in the lobby, and then people, as they get there, can look at them. And before they head into the main hall, they get their ticket torn in half. And that way we can kind of move people through faster. So those who want to look a little bit longer can, and those who just want to go get their soup can grab their bowl and go.
I know it's a popular event.
Yes, it is very popular, and it seems to get popular or more and more popular each year.
It has grown a little bit each year.
And you've got something special planned.
We do have something special planned. Well, we're going to have very special music and very special desserts and a very special silent auction, but we are also considering maybe thinking about changing our name, and so we will have a box with surveys next to it, and so people can tell us if we want a name changed or not, and if we have any good ideas about what the name might be.
Now, this is not your name, but the name of the Glory Hole.
Right.
Correct.
I was also going to change my name. Something easier to pronounce, I think, would be nice. Yeah.
So I'm assuming there's meat and vegetarian dishes.
There are. Yes. And I think we have a pretty good balance this year of vegetarian and non-vegetarian soups.
And we have a lot of soups being donated this year. I think the count is up to almost 20 different soups.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, everyone's really pitching in this year. It should be a great event.
Again, if people need tickets, how do they get them?
Hearthside Books or at the door. I personally would recommend getting them at Hearthside first instead of waiting to get them at the door just in case.
It's also, it makes us feel better because we don't know when people are actually going to come.
Cool. I've been talking to Andrea Campbell and Maria Levischuk about this year's Empty Bowls, Sunday the 24th at Centennial Hall. Doors open at
5 p.m.
But the viewing starts at 4:45, so if people do want to check out all the bowls, they'll be in the hallway.
I had anything you'd like to add that I might have forgotten to ask?
Just please come. I think it'll be really fun, and it'll be really great if people come.
Take you a little pebble, then you put it in a pot, then you add a quart of water, and you cook it till it's hot. We're making stone soup from a pebble, soup that comes when you're adding lots of drums in a pot made of metal. We're making stone soup from a stone, that's done when you've added everyone to the beat and the bone. Then you can add some rutabaga and some chicken when it's brown. Throw in some red potatoes and some pepper when it's brown. Here come the pepper, yeah. Then maybe you got some turnips and some onions, two or three, some garlic and some spices, bring some spicy harmony. We're making stone soup from a pebble, soup that comes when you're adding lots of drums in a pot made of metal. We're making stone soup from a stone, soup that's done when you've added everyone to the beat and the bone. They say this country is one big old mixing pot. Just see what can happen when we mix it up a lot. Imagine what can happen just by adding you to me. A lot of tasty flavors in this kettle that is free. We're making stone soup from a pebble, soup that comes when you're adding lots of drums in a pot made of metal. We're making stone soup from the kitchen, with a full belly sound and some chicken that's brown and a sack that is bitchin'. Woo! Yes! Play it, baby! Come on now! Woo! Thank you.
from a pebble. Soup that comes when you're adding lots of drums in a pot made of metal. Making stone soup, soup from a stone. Soup that's done when you've added everyone to the beat in the bone. Making stone soup, soup from a stone. Soup that's done when you've added everyone.
We're making yum, yum,
yum.
It's Preserves. We're on day four of our spring membership drive, looking for you to make your donation right now by calling 586-3636. Talk to members of the Juno Preschool to remind you about preschool registration lotteries coming up.
This is Bird Note. Aldo Leopold, in his groundbreaking work, A Sand County Almanac, described his family's efforts to restore their land to its natural state. Leopold's granddaughter, Susan Freeman, a piano teacher in Seattle, inherited that land ethic. When offered the chance to help restore a watershed on Western Washington's Olympic Peninsula, Susan and her husband Scott couldn't wait to dig in. Together with fellow landowner Peter Bales, the Freemans are restoring the 5-mile-long Tarboo Creek. They've planted more than 10,000 trees so far. What inspires someone to put so much time and energy into a piece of land? Let's hear from Susan.
Planting a tree to me represents being able to do something for future generations the way my grandfather and my father have done for my generation and my kids. And that means so much to me to see what they've done and how much better the land is that my grandfather had bought originally as a sand hill farm where everything was devastated by the overproduction of corn. And now it's this lovely pine forest. And also the most special thing is to have our kids be able to do it with us. And so they're part of that process and maybe they'll want to pass that on and do that with their children.
Earth Day is tomorrow. What could you do to help the natural world? You needn't go far. There's probably a project near you. Learn more at birdnote.org.
Support for this station comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, located at 1619 Glacier Avenue in downtown Juneau, offering aqua aerobics on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m., and stretch aquatics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45 a.m. Schedules are available online at juno.org/park/pool. More information at 586-5325.
Oh, woke up, woke up. Won't you stay, won't you stay? Woke up, it was a Chelsea morning, and the first thing that I heard was a song outside my window, and the traffic broke the words, and it came a ringing up like Christmas bells, and a wrapping up like pipes and drums. Oh, won't you stay? We'll put on the day, and we'll wear it till the night comes. I'll stay till the night comes. I woke up. It was a Chelsea morning, and the first thing that I saw was the sun through yellow curtains and a rainbow on the wall. Blue, red, green, and gold to welcome you. Crimson crystal beads to back on. Oh, won't you, won't you, won't you, won't you, won't you stay? We'll put on the day as the sun show every second. Curtain open. morning, and the first thing that I knew, there was milk and toast and honey and a bowl of oranges too. And the sun poured in like butterscotch, and it stuck to all my senses. Oh, won't you stay? We'll put on a, and we'll talk in present tense.
Music of Marion Call, who happens to be joining us in the studio right now, along with Christy, Annie Erickson.
Does that make you breathless, Jeff?
It is. So thanks for coming down. You're here to talk about the Kindred Post special tiny concert.
Yeah. We're having our 8th in the series of tiny post office concerts tonight at 7 o'clock at Kindred Post.
Who's performing?
Tonight we've got Marion Call, Seth Boyer, and Molly Lewis. Marion, of course, is a local rock star, and Seth and Molly are coming up from out of town. And maybe I'll let Marion talk a little bit more about them.
I'm a local, don't know about rock star, but working on it.
Uh-huh.
Seth and Molly are friends of mine who have, I think, been up once or twice before. I know Molly Lewis came up once about a year ago. We all do kind of interesting, a little bit out of the ordinary music, but it works well together. And we are playing a concert that's in conjunction with the Comet Convention that's coming up this weekend, the Alaska Robotics Mini-Con. So we have some songs about unusual things, and with ukulele and guitar, and some happy stuff and some sad stuff, but a little bit different. And so I'm very excited about the show tonight.
And these concerts are all unplugged.
I think we'll have a tiny bit of a sound system, but you won't hear any electric guitars, no drums. It'll be just guitar, ukulele, voices. That's mm-hmm. it.
Little
Maybe
plugs.
Some typewriter.
Yeah, we try to keep it unplugged, or we say low tech, so not a gazillion wires and cables going all around, but just big enough to fill the sound, fill the space in our little post.
Tell me a little bit more about Seth and Molly, please.
Oh, sure. Seth is from Eagle River, Alaska, and he and I have been touring all around the world for the last several years. He lives in Seattle at the moment right now, and he just put out a new great record. He has a knack for writing really smart, really smart sad songs, I think, I would say.
That's how I like to be sad.
Yeah, if you're going to be sad...
You got to be smart about it.
Yeah, you got to be smart about it. I don't know. I think that... what were we talking about earlier today? He writes the kind of heartache songs that help your heart get its ache out, but also help you go on for the next thing, you know? He writes really, really good songs like that, and sometimes they're just hilarious in how smart they are and how clever. And occasionally you think that they're about heartache, but actually they're about the video game Animal Crossing or the anime Sailor Moon. And, it's pretty great. And then Molly Lewis is, she's like no one else. She writes songs that are like fantastic rhyming ukulele explorations of history and of bizarre little phenomena that you always notice. It reminds me of like the Seinfeld of music comedy. She's very, very smart about little things that everyone notices but no one talks about.
Mm-hmm.
She has an amazing song about playing James Bond in one of the original James Bond video games. That's hilarious. She has a song about the Lincoln assassination that's so in-depth and amazing. It makes you laugh and cry. Mm-hmm. And one about Lisa Nowak, the astronaut who drove all the way across the United States with a vague plan to take her man back from the captain in the Air Force that he was dating. I don't know. It's
she's like an encyclopedia inside a ukulele player.
In fact, she has a song about breaking up with Wikipedia, which is great because she got cut out of Wikipedia for a while for not being famous enough. She is an encyclopedia ukulele player. Her songs make you smarter.
Cool. And Molly actually came to Kindred Post last year. Was it during Folk
Fest? It was... Just after. It was in May.
Okay.
It was just like this, like a week or two after Folkfest.
It was just the spur-of-the-moment thing where they were like, can we use... We have a little loft that not a lot of people know about at the post office that we open up for some community events. And so we had a secret ukulele jam up there last year. And so Molly was there and Marion and a host of other local ukulele players were up in our loft jamming out together. And it was just amazing because people would come in and they're like, where is that music coming from? What's going on? Because you can't see it, but of course we could hear it, and it was lovely and wonderful and a lot of fun. So when I heard that Molly was coming back to town and Marion pitched the idea for our next concert to be this one, I was pretty excited and knew that it was going to be full of quirk and full of joy. And those make the best concerts.
Yes.
And so this fits in with comic books.
It sure does. I think if you have ever heard my music or Molly's music or heard Seth play with us, then yeah, it totally makes sense how it fits in with comic books. I mean, since we have a bunch of great comic artists coming to town, we're busy learning, we're busy practicing the Batman theme and the Spider-Man theme so we can sing the Squirrel Girl song, which is because of Ryan's North's best-selling new comic, The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. And we're going to be doing like a little variety show introduction to all the artists on Friday night. We're like the house band at the Pat Race variety show as he introduces all the comic book artists who are coming to town.
Seems like Pat Race week because he's doing the design for a T-shirt and sweatshirts.
That's right. And he was in here, I think, a couple times, too. He's, oh, my goodness, I love the design. He worked hard on that, and I think I remember the very day that he saw we were out on a boat not far from Elephant Cove and saw a bunch of sea lions hauled out onto an orange buoy, just like the design.
Mm-hmm.
And, I love those little guys. It's great. He's working hard this week and making a big, big, big convention come together for Saturday.
And I think everything in the convention from the illustrated comics to the written work that goes along with it to the music and the private art camp that we're going to go to later in the weekend, I think all of it has just this spirit of play that runs throughout it. And so we're excited to be a part of it in this way that's not, you know, a visual book that maybe a lot of people might associate with comic books, but we're a part of this comic convention, this gathering of playfulness and of joy and wonderment. And I think that this Tiny Post Office concert fits right alongside that.
Well, because it's a mini convention and
a tiny post office concert, yeah.
Also, we like small things here in this town.
That's right, yeah. We like bento boxes and I got a bunch of those tiny wooden shoes just from the Netherlands coming back with me. And I think, I don't know, I'm excited to decorate my table for mini con.
We'll take tiny bills as donations, too.
yeah.
So, Marion, you perform a lot of your time in small venues like living rooms. What is the magic of those for you?
I like to be up close to the people that I'm playing for. Like, once in a while I get to perform in a giant theater full of people as part of a variety of show or something, but I really prefer between, like, 10 and 50 people in my shows because then you really can look everyone in the eye. You can, you know, the kids are allowed to get up and dance if they wanna. You can have families. You can have people who, you know, need a little extra engagement with the music or people who need a little extra space or who need some personalization. And you can read the audience and do what they want, you know, and just be, I don't know. I think that that's how music has been performed for thousands and thousands of years, except for this little weird blip where we learned about amplification. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like when I play in a small room like the post office, it's like that's how music has always been for most people through history. It feels good.
Tiny Post Office concert happening tonight. What time does it start?
So the show starts at 7, but we open the doors at 6:30, and we traditionally fill up the house by about 6:45, 6:50. So we strongly encourage people to come when the doors open to nab their favorite spot in the house. Kindred Post is located at 145 South Franklin. It's across from the clock, and it's a pay-as-you-can donation-only event.
Marion calls Seth Boyer and Molly Lewis performing tonight. Get there at 6:30 or a little bit earlier to make sure you have a seat. What else is happening? Can post?
That's a great question, actually. Our next First Friday coming up, I'm particularly excited about, and I don't want to give away all the juicy details yet, but let's just say we have a young 5th grade girl who has started up a letter writing business called Mountain Goat Notes, where she's going to be writing letters and postcards on the spot for you. And her mom, a ukulele player, actually, is going to be playing live music with some letter-themed, letter-writing, postman-themed songs to kind of get the spirit flowing. So that's coming up next First Friday.
I'm going to sit right down.
Not to mention...
Go ahead.
Oh, not to mention Kindred Post is just always one of the friendliest places to go in downtown. It's like your nice little refuge surrounded by works made by hand by all the most amazing people from all over the place. It feels good. It feels
thanks,
very
Marian.
Good.
Thanks for saying that.
Marian, Colin, Christine, Emmy, Erickson, thank you so much for coming down to the station.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank
appreciate
you, Jeff.
It.
Sound of Third Coast Percussion, one of the featured performers, performing groups in this year's Juno Jazz and Classics Festival. Nancy DeTourney, thank you for coming down to the station today.
Thanks for having me. There's so many funny things going on this week.
And we should remind people that there's our membership drive, and we're looking for people to call in with their financial
call
support.
Call in. There's lovely people out there waiting for the phone to ring, and the phone number is 586-3636. You can also go online, but it's more fun to hear the phone ring. So please call and make sure that you are an up-to-date member of the, and you get this really cool design by Pat Race on the stuff this year. This is very cool, the stuff, the design. So let's talk about what's going on. It is Comic-Con. This is the first one in Juneau. I'm so excited about it. And there's things happening all over the place with regard to that. Pick up a Capital City Weekly. It's got a really good list of everything that's going on. Also, let's see, Bluegrass Thursdays at the Red Dog Saloon at 6:30 tonight, Tango Dancing out at the Suite 907 at 7, The Scarlet Letter at 7 at McFeeters Hall, and there's an open mic and a karaoke thing going on too. You can get the details for things at our, on our calendar at jahc.org or ktoo.org. So if I buzz by something too fast. On Friday, there's the organ concert at the State Office Building Atrium, which is a nice way to spend your lunch hour. At 5 p.m., Love Thy Nature. It's a documentary at the Gold Town Nickelodeon. It's a special thing that's here in town for a couple days, I think, but take time to check that out. Pete Griffith will be giving some stories. He's Diary of a Forest Ranger, and that's here in this building at 360 North downstairs in the studio. And there's a Relay for Life wine and beer tasting at the Jack Main Hall. It's a fundraiser, a nice opportunity to help raise some funds. 7 p.m. Marvin's Room at McFeeters Hall. On Saturday, it is the 100th annual citywide cleanup at the Marine Park. Didn't we do that last week?
They're dividing it into different sections.
Oh.
They're doing different areas of town each time.
Oh, that's a good idea.
There's the wetlands, and there's by Sunny Point, they're doing it somewhere.
So we're in the downtown Marine Park. Go there. Get your from 8 to 11:30.
And just don't litter.
Just don't litter. That'd be a better idea. Then we wouldn't have to pick it up, for heaven's sakes. It's hard to avoid some things, however. From 9 to 2, there's a Mountainside Community Garage Sale. Drive up Craig Street. It's across from Twin Lakes. There's, from 10 to 6, an Arts, Crafts, and Collectibles Fair at Mendenhall Mall. That's going to run both Saturday and Sunday. But also at the Jack, it is the Alaska Robotics Mini-Con. All kinds of fun stuff happening. come on out for that. And be sure to wear your Superman outfit when you come. 10:30, it is Coffees and Collections. They're going to talk about local heroes at the Juno Douglas City Museum. That's free. 2 p.m., another performance of Marvin's Room. At 3 p.m., another showing of Love Thy Nature at Gold Town Nickelodeon. At 6 p.m., there's the Hospice Benefit Dinner at Cathedral Parish Hall. And I think you can get tickets at various locations. I think that we have them at the Jack. I'm not positive. And then at 7 p.m., the Scarlet Letter at McFeeters Hall. And at 8 p.m., Taku Wins Concert at the Jack. So we're going to go from Comic-Cons to concerts. It's going to be exciting. Within a matter of moments. On Sunday, there's the Ukulele Jam over at TK McGuire. At noon, Raining Colors Fun Runner Walk at the Riverbend Elementary School, and a continuation of the Arts, Crafts, and Collectibles Fair. Ultimate Frisbee out at Thunder Mountain High School, 1 to 3. Scarlet Letter at 2 at McFeeters Hall. Another showing of Love Thy Nature, Gold Town Nick. And at 3 o'clock, there's International Folk Dancing at 6 p.m. That happens at the Alaska Club downtown. Karaoke out at Suite 907 at 9 p.m. There is, on Monday, from 10 to 3, emergency planning for seniors and people with disabilities. That's at the SAIL offices. And at 6 p.m. is your opportunity to learn more about the Makerspace that's out on Anka Street. Find out if you want to become a regular member of that. They have all kinds of cool stuff, tools you can use in case you just need a bandsaw for a day or two. They can go there.
And don't have one in your back pocket.
No, I just don't keep it around, you know. 7:30 p.m., Mondays are a drag at the Rendezvous. Stop in there on Monday. On Tuesday, there's a U.S. citizenship class at 10:30 at Greening Park. A whole bunch of free computer classes. And West Coast Swing Dancing at Suite 907 at 7:30. On Wednesday, there's a Write About It class at the Learning Connection and English classes. And the exciting thing is at 6 p.m., Alaska Design Forum brings another one of their wonderful presentations. This one is Bernard Khoury. He is an architect from Bahrain, and I was looking at his stuff online. It's amazing. So they do these things at 360 downstairs, and it's just an opportunity to really get some inspiration, especially since we just selected the architects who are going to design the new Jack building, the new
Wax building. I was just going to ask you that. It's mostly psychic.
Yes, well, probably so.
I knew you would say that.
Yes, so we are working on expanding the Jack to an arts art complex, is what we're calling it now, and we are very excited to announce that Northwind Architects, along with Hacker from Portland, have been selected to be the architectural firm that will move this thing forward. So we're getting ready. It's exciting.
So what does that all mean? They've been selected as the architects and designers. Where did they go from there?
They begin to give us some we're going to sit down with them. There'll be a fair number of community opportunities for people to visit with them and talk about the space and what kind of space and what the space means and various pieces of things like that. But it's where they're going to start coming up with the concepts and the pictures and the images and the pretty things that make us all get excited. So the museum will be coming online shortly, and it's time for us to move a crane across the street, build a building over there. So it's going to be exciting. We've never been this far before. It's really thrilling.
It'd be fun to watch it from right here in our studio.
Yeah, you can keep up with it. So, and as I mentioned, the SLAM, which is now being called the Andrew P. Koroshnikov, I think I'm saying that right, the APK building, we're going to be doing dances during the summer on Friday nights. They'll be dancing on Pivot Plaza, which is the name of their big plaza out front, and we'll have the food trucks on the lawn, and it'll be a block party every Friday night. Having fun.
As usual, fun is the name of the game.
Yes, and remember, now you need to call KTOO at 586-3636.
Why should people call up?
Because this is your radio station, and this is where you get this kind of information, and no place else do you come to for the radio. This is Juno's radio station. You need to support it.
And you could also talk to volunteers from the Juno Club Preschool. They answer your questions at preschool registration lottery coming up about a week or so, but they'll also take your financial pledge of support.
Yeah, and we want to see your name on the list, and plus you want one of those really nice Pat Race mugs or pins or T-shirts or hoodies. They're great.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Tomorrow in June afternoon, Andy Klein will be your host. We'll find out about this weekend's Comic-Con, mini-Comic-Con. We'll talk about advisors at the UAS. Katrina Pearson will be here to highlight this upcoming Northwind Symposium. And we'll talk with Jamie. That writer's almanac for Not Music and More tomorrow at 3 on June afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight, cloudy skies, sprinkles early in the evening, becoming rain likely later on, low temperatures around 41 degrees. Forecast for Friday, cloudy skies with a chance of rain in the morning and sprinkles in the afternoon. Rain likely on Friday night. Saturday, rain likely with high temperatures around 53 degrees. And it's the music of Carolyn Wonderland, one of the featured artists in this year's Jazz and Classics Festival.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Studio Scott Burton here, getting ready for All Things Considered, and next to me is Shona Osterhout. I get to hang with you for 2 hours. Is that true?
It's true, and I'm so excited.
And of course, as part of the spring membership drive, there's Sarah Schaefer as well. This is going to be really fun. Just a reminder, if you're tuning in, this is part of the 2016 spring membership drive. It is going really well. And we're reaching out to those folks who haven't had a chance yet to go to the phone and call 586-3636 or go to ktoo.org to renew or begin your membership. We'll see you soon.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. R&B and pop legend Prince has died. Authorities say Prince Rogers Nelson was found unresponsive at Paisley Park, his home and studio complex outside Minneapolis today. His Grammy-winning Purple Rain soundtrack is an icon of the 1980s, and over the next 3 decades, Prince would put out 39 studio albums. He was 57 years old. Stephen Thompson's an editor at NPR Music and says Prince also made a mark through the work he did with other artists and, in particular, women.
He also wrote a ton of songs for women and with women in mind and helped create these huge career highlights for people like Sinead O'Connor with Nothing Compares to You.
It's been 7 hours, 13 days since you took your love away.
He wrote I Feel For You by Chaka Khan, which everyone associates with Chaka Khan, but was written by Prince. So he had a huge creative footprint that went beyond his own catalog.
NPR's Stephen Thompson. According to a senior Senate Republican congressional spokesman, Congress may be moving closer to a vote on President Obama's nearly $2 billion request for funding to fight the Zika virus. Appropriations Committee Chair Thad Cochran says that proposal is likely to be attached to an unnamed spending bill. Both Republicans and Democrats on the committee say progress has been made toward reaching a compromise to fund research on a vaccine against Zika. Presidential candidate Hillary Clinton was in Hartford today speaking alongside family members of victims of gun violence. As Patrick Scahill from member station WNPR reports, some of the discussion focused on the 2012 shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School.
Clinton is praising Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy, who she says passed some of the toughest gun laws in the country following the shooting at Sandy Hook. She spoke about guns to a crowd of a few hundred at a small basketball court in Hartford.
The gun lobby is the most powerful lobby in Washington, because they have figured out how to intimidate elected officials at all levels who basically just stop thinking about this problem because they're too scared to stand up to the NRA.
Clinton was joined by gun control advocates from Hartford and other spots in Connecticut, including a mother from Sandy Hook Elementary School. For NPR News, I'm Patrick Scahill in Hartford.
According to the White House, the U.S. and Gulf Arab allies have reached agreement on a number of security initiatives aimed at countering the Islamic State as well as countering Iran's actions in that part of the world. Leaders also have committed to accelerated efforts to put together an early warning system for ballistic missiles. On Wall Street today, stocks lost ground. The Dow was down 130